will install bike lanes along parts of Commonwealth Avenue to create a safer environment for bikers.
So I had the chance to take a bike ride around the city of Boston. For bicyclists, it's pretty dangerous, and there's a lot of bicyclists have the same rights to be able to ride on the streets and roads as anyone else does.
The lane, set to be built next spring, will run from the Boston University Bridge to Packard's Corner. More on the mayor's transportation plan on Radio Boston in just a moment. The forecast, sunny today. The high is around 43. Clouds with rain coming in tonight. The low is around 38 degrees.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Ciclismo Classico. Bike tours for the culturally curious since 1989. Adventures include Italy, France, and Ireland. More at pedalyourpassion.com.
My name is Joe Calley. I'm Executive Vice President of Overseas Adventure Travel. Public radio is something we believe in. It's something that we think is beneficial to American citizens and citizens around the world. If we're going to support something, we're going to go all in and support it.
Overseas Adventure Travel is going all in with the biggest challenge WBUR has ever had, $600,000. But we're not guaranteed a penny of it unless we raise $1.2 million from our listeners. Help us do it this week without any interruption to the news. All the money with all the news. Don't let us miss out on $600,000. We need your support right now. Call 1-800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org. That's 1-800-909-9287 or WBUR.org. Please give right away. Thank you.
Time is running out to help us reach our goal without interrupting the news. Today only, get an Eaton Weather Alert Radio as our thanks for your $90 contribution, half its regular pledge level. That's today only. Call 800-909-9287 or give at WBUR.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's start today with a challenge that many American cities face, especially perhaps Boston. How do you make streets safer for pedestrians and for the increasing number of people who ride bikes?
Once upon a time in America, the automobile was king. But for a while now, the challenge has been how to design cities that are walkable, rideable, and better served by public transportation.
With that in mind, today, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh announced a series of initiatives to improve the safety and circulation of cars, pedestrians, and bicycles. Among the plans, a $17 million project to rebuild part of Commonwealth Avenue. The redesign includes a protected bike lane, a so-called cycle track. This puts the bike lane between parked cars and a rebuilt sidewalk, offering cyclists real protection on one of the city's busiest streets.
Here's the mayor speaking earlier today.
Comm Ave is a true multimodal street. It's full of people, trains, on buses, walking, and bicyclists. It's also one of our highest crash areas for cyclists in the city.
Another part of the mayor's plan is called Vision Zero Boston, an effort to completely eliminate traffic fatalities in the city.
Its success really relies on how we can get everyone to view safety as a top priority. We need to look at how people share roads, drivers, cyclists, and especially pedestrians. Improved traffic systems will take time. But with this vision, we are on our way to making the city and our streets safer for all folks.
Transportation advocates are hailing the announcement, particularly the part about those protected bike lanes in Boston. And Anthony, you stepped out earlier today with two of those advocates.
Yeah, that's right, Meghna. In fact, we didn't go very far from here. In fact, we stepped just outside our studios onto Commonwealth Avenue, which is ground zero in this new initiative to make Boston more pedestrian-friendly, more public transportation-friendly, and most significantly, more bike-friendly. This is where Mayor Walsh is proposing to install protected bike lanes, or cycle tracks, the first in Boston. They'll run from the BU Bridge, east of where I'm standing, up to Packard's Corner, about 3/4 of a mile long. And they'll provide protection for cyclists in a busy and dangerous part of the city, where there have been some 68 bike crashes over a recent 2-year period, including one that killed a BU student, not far from where I'm standing. The $17 million project will also repave the road, install new curbs, refurbish the sidewalks, and widen the T lane down the middle of Commonwealth Avenue. So to what extent does this represent a new vision for pedestrians, cyclists, and drivers in Boston that Mayor Walsh is talking about? To talk about that, I'm joined by Peter Firth. He's a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Northeastern University. Among other things, he studied bicycle infrastructure around the world. And Peter, thanks for coming out.
Glad to be here.
And with me also is Jeff Rosenblum, president and co-founder of the Livable Streets Alliance in Boston. Jeff, good to have you.
Good to be here as well.
And I want to point out that both of you came out today on your bicycles. So.
Well, it was a nice day today, unlike some of our previous
days.
Good
day for a bike ride. So let me ask you both, how will a protected bike lane along this corridor and this stretch of Commonwealth Avenue, what's your response to this proposal? How significant is it? Peter, I'll start with you.
This is a huge step forward for the city of Boston. It was only 10 years ago that the city didn't put in bike lanes at all. So the first step was recognizing, all right, I guess bikes are here to stay and bikes are something we want. We'll make some bike lanes. But that standard solution, the bike lane, it's still something that only about 10% of people are willing to ride in on a busy street like this. You know, one of my students did a study of this section of Com Ave once and found that 45% of the bikes coming through, they couldn't stay in the bike lane because it was blocked by a taxi or a double-parked car or somebody loading or unloading. So that meant if you wanted to ride your bike in that sort of bike lane, you had to be the kind of person who's comfortable mixing it up with traffic.
Yeah.
And only a small percentage of the population is.
So let's put this in perspective. We said this is the first in Boston. Across the river along Western Avenue, there's a protected cycling lane. I know another one's being planned for Beacon Street in Somerville. That's three small stretches of protected bike lane in a big metropolitan area. What has to happen to really scale this up?
If there's only a little piece here, a little piece here, a little piece there, the number of people who are willing to use it is still going to be severely limited because you're going to have to mix it up with traffic in between.
On the plus side of thinking about the little bit here, little bit there, is that we're viewing this as a pilot, a way for cities to try out new things. And so here were projects that already had funding, so there was very limited additional amount of money needed. So this project on Commonwealth Avenue is not going to cost any more than it would have before. And so having a few of them around sort of demonstrates proof of concept. And then we need to get to the next step, which is saying, all right, now we have the designs. We know the designs work. We've experimented with them. The engineers and the planners have gotten to look at them. The politicians and the public have gotten to feel them. How do we then roll that out?
Right. And Peter, how does that work? I mean, essentially, it sounds like we're talking about the goal is a real network of protected bike lanes.
That's absolutely right. I mean, nobody would ever think about a transit line here, a transit line there. They have to connect to be a network. So likewise, if we want normal, everyday people riding bikes, we have to have a network of protected paths and bike lanes. So one way to get protected bike lanes done, like what's being done here on Commonwealth Ave, you wait until a project comes up, and, you know, every 40, 60 years, a street gets rebuilt, and when it does, okay, we're going to rebuild it better. But if we follow that approach, we could be waiting a long, long time before we have a connected network. So the next step that the state has to take and the city has to take is to plan for and plan funding for building this network of protected bikeways, and that has me very excited.
Hmm. And do you think that's going to happen, Jeff? Is there appetite for that?
There is. There's growing appetite. There's a program called the Green Links Initiative, which is specifically designed to create these comfortable, low-stress bikeways throughout the whole city, such that you could get from, let's say, where we're standing right here to Franklin Park, or let's say right here along safe bikeways all the way to Assembly Square, which is kind of up and coming.
So let me ask you about, I guess, one of the things that we have to give up. To make room for this protected bike lane across the street from us on the westbound side of Commonwealth Avenue, they're actually going to take a lane of traffic away. Is that a concern? I mean, do we risk making the traffic situation worse? Peter.
Well, this is America, and many of the roads we have here simply were overbuilt. The simple fact that there are two lanes inbound and three lanes outbound should make anybody wonder, well, if two lanes can carry the traffic inbound, why should we need a third lane outbound? So, no, traffic will operate just fine going out on this street because it was overbuilt. And we have a few other cases like that, like Rutherford Ave in Charlestown.
Jeff, we've been talking a lot about bikes, but this is also about pedestrians, right?
Yeah, this project is meant to improve safety for bikes and pedestrians. And if we look right now, there's a bunch of pedestrians crossing the street. They right now had to wait upwards of a minute and a half to get all the way across the street. And so we ask ourselves, well, why are all these BU students not crossing with the walk sign? Why are they crossing against it? And the answer, one could say, is because they're being illegal. But on the other hand, you could say because the infrastructure was designed to penalize them for waiting. And so
another thing, right now as we're standing, there's a green light for Commonwealth Avenue, and there's not a car in sight. Not a car, not a car, not a car. We see three pedestrians waiting to cross. Why do they have to wait when there's no cars on Comm Ave? Why is the light red for them?
And now we're witnessing all of them crossing the street against the don't walk sign.
Right. So the point here is we have the technology to have smart lights and do all this stuff. Why aren't we doing it?
Some of it is the technology, and some of it is really just implementation of policy. I think the Walsh administration, with his announcement of Vision Zero, is beginning to recognize that he needs to look holistically at not only just bikes, but pedestrian safety, and also the safety of transit riders, like we were talking about with the widened reservation for the Green Line.
That's right. It's a mentality. It's just easier to design a road for cars and then, okay, a little bit to take care of pedestrians, bikes, and transit. That's the easier way to do things, and it's the way we've been doing things for years. So it takes a change in mentality, and the mayor's announcement today means that the city is changing their mentality that way, and we hope that we'll see some good examples of that right here in this Comm Ave design.
I think one of the things that we struggle with as street design engineers is that it's not one piece of the street design that makes it. So traffic calming is incredibly important for Commonwealth Avenue, but it's not something that people see. And so narrower lanes, curb extensions that bump out to provide pedestrians with more space to wait and have them be more visible, all those components all add up to a street where cars drive slower but still get to their destination. It doesn't make more traffic, it's just everybody's going more slowly in a car and allows pedestrians to be safer and cross the street in a more timely fashion.
Yeah. Jeff, let me ask you about the Green Line. We're looking at the Green Line right here in the middle of Commonwealth Avenue. This plan calls for making the Green Line reservation wider. It's supposed to make it safer for T workers and I guess for travelers as well. How important is that?
Right, that's very important. If you want people to feel comfortable and want to ride transit, you can't have them squished between a fence and the oncoming Green Line car. There also is an issue where the Green Line for years, decades, has not been accessible for people with disabilities. These new designs are going to allow more and more stations to be accessible in wheelchair and for people that have physical disabilities. But a lot of it is the comfort and feel. If you feel like a second-class citizen if you're getting on the Green Line and you're squished in this little tiny space. And so part of this is how to make it feel comfortable and how to value public transportation as a mode that Mayor Walsh, as he said in his announcement this morning, wants to have more residents take in Boston instead of driving.
So let's talk a little bit about what Mayor Walsh is talking about, making improvements for pedestrians, cyclists, and drivers. That's sort of the language he was using this morning. How has the Walsh administration been doing on this? Good job so far? What do you think, Peter Firth?
Well, this is the first that the Walsh administration has directly addressed transportation. So it's hard to say how they've been doing in a track record. One area in which we haven't seen anything yet, and we really want to see something, is transit priority. In the Boston region, we basically know, and all we know is an all-or-nothing form of transit priority. Either we spend $1 billion or so and build a new subway, or we do nothing and let our buses and trolleys be stuck in traffic. And that's really a backwards thing to be doing in the 21st century. We need to have priority so that a bus with 40 people or a Green Line car with 200 people doesn't get stuck waiting at a red light. Mm-hmm. So they get prioritized so they don't get stuck in queues. If we want people to use public transportation, the best way to do it is make it so that it's fast and reliable.
The students do joke that it's quicker to walk up Commonwealth Avenue than take the Green Line, which doesn't bode well for people switching to public transportation.
You know, just to get back to the issue or the question around Mayor Walsh, it should be pointed out that initially this plan didn't call for improved bike lanes. It was because advocates pushed for it, right?
Right, and if we look back 10 years, the stretch of Comm Ave that we're looking at toward the BU Bridge, the other direction wasn't going to have bike lanes at all, and it took a lot of advocacy pressure to even have bike lanes, the simple bike lane, be added to that project. Now, 6 years later, we see, again, Boston catching up to the rest of the country with separated, with protected bike facilities, and realizing that what advocates and the public are clamoring for is safety. So the advocates know what to ask for. They know how to ask for a facility called a protected bike lane. The public doesn't know how to talk about it. They just want a safe place to bike, or they never even thought about biking because they knew it was unsafe. So some of it is advocates act as a conduit between what people want and the actual infrastructure that should be advocated for, that should be built.
This is such a watershed moment, though, for the city, because everybody knows, once people see the protected bike lane, they're going to love it. This genie's not going back in the bottle. New York City built its first protected bike lanes in 2007 on 9th Avenue. And they just started spreading all over New York City. And all over the country, people became aware, thanks to New York, you know, if you can do it there, you can do it anywhere. So now that people are going to see protected bike lanes on such a prominent street as Comm Ave, they're going to want them everywhere.
I think Mayor Walsh recognized this as a real potential project to pilot something like separated bike lanes in Boston, and this project is at a very late stage. So for Mayor Walsh to say at this very late stage in this project that he is going to shift toward a more progressive separated bike lane design, he's done a really remarkable thing as his really first major transportation announcement.
All right. Well, that's Jeff Rosenblum. He's president and co-founder of the Livable Streets Alliance. Jeff, thanks for coming out.
Surely.
Appreciate it. And Peter Firth is a civil engineering professor at Northeastern University. Thank you as well. And gentlemen, bike safely.
Thanks a lot.
So Boston continues to seek new solutions in transportation. We've got more innovation news for you. This one from the White House.
Who's next? We'll go over here.